This month we are looking at the Great Shepherd. The Great Shepherd. And this morning I'd like to talk on what I call the sheep of his pasture. The sheep of his pasture. In verse 1 of Psalm 100, I'll read from verse 1 to 3. Psalm 100, verse 1 to 3. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. Let me go over it again. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. Verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Sometimes some people wonder why we sing a lot. That's what the Bible says we should be doing. We come before his presence with singing. Then verse 3 says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. It is he that made us. We didn't make ourselves. And we are his people and also the sheep of his pasture. If you look at that verse 3, you can see that it is possible for God to be several things to us. And whatever God is to you, if you relate to him on that level in the right way, you will experience the fullness of that thing that God is to you. For example, God, you can be a son to God. You can be a son to God. In fact, in John chapter 1 and 12, the Bible says, as many as received him, to them he gave power to become sons of God. Now, potentially, when you give your life to Christ, you are not fully that son. Because when you give your life to Christ, you are a child of God. That son that he's talking about there is a matured son of God. He's a child of God that can stand and defend the integrity of his God. So when you know how to relate to him in the way you should relate to him, the fullness of that sonship will find expression. You can relate to God as a son. And let me also add this. You can relate to God as a servant. Some people only know that as a child of God, they are sons of God. But they don't know that as also a child of God, you are also called even into service of God. You are not just the son of God, you are also a son that serves. You don't need to serve to be a son, but you are a son that serves. That's what the Bible said in that verse 2. He said, serve the Lord with gladness. There is a place for serving the Lord. That's why we had workers meeting yesterday. And some of you didn't come. You hurt our feelings. Just so you know. Just so you know. We are not happy with you. And some of you didn't even ask us excuse. You just figured out we'll pick you from the birds. Twitter will just tell us. She's not coming. We are family now. When there's a family meeting and you don't show up, what are you telling us? You're not part of the family. You have to come and apologize to me. And I'm not kidding. I'm serious. We are not happy. So that you don't say, I would not say I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. I'm not happy. Some of you didn't show up. You didn't show up. It's not convenient. Ask the people that showed up. Was it convenient? It was not convenient. You know, the drive was long. Is the drive any shorter? It's always long. But let me not go into that one. Okay, let me say I'm joking, but still apologize. Amen. God doesn't only want us to relate to him as our father and as sons. We also have to relate to him as servants. You know, sometimes some people think, no. In the New Testament, we are not a servant. It was in the Old Testament that they were a servant. Maybe in the Old Testament, they were slaves. But even in the New Testament, we are servants. Because when Jesus came, who is the embodiment of the New Testament? In Matthew chapter 20 and 28, he said, I am among you as he that serves. Jesus was a servant leader. Jesus was not talk, do as I say. He was do as I do. Jesus will not tell you what you cannot do. In fact, Jesus will do for them even some things that they thought the leader should not be doing. So Jesus brought a new template to us and told us that when it comes to God, he doesn't want to raise sons. He wants to raise sons that serve. And that's why if you don't serve in this house, you are wrong. If you come here every time, they impress you. And sometimes you are complaining about what is not working. Why are you not helping us to make it work? This is your father's house. Anybody that is a member of the house has responsibility. Whether it is spelled out or not, you have a responsibility. If I come to my house and I'm telling my family members that why is so and so not so, I'm sure they will look at me and say, excuse me, sir. If it is not so, help us fix it. You know? So, one of the ways we can relate to God is as sons. Another way we can relate to Him is as servants. And there are several ways God has called us to relate to Him. And every time you find your posture right and relate to God in the way He wants to relate to you, in the dimension of that description of that office, He will attend to you as that. If you relate to Him well as a son, He will deal with you as a father. If you relate to Him well as a servant, He will deal to you as a boss, and He will pay you if you relate to Him that way. But there is one way we want to look at this morning that God also wants to also relate to Him, and it is as sheep, because that scripture says we are the sheep of His pastures. Part of our confession today is from Psalm 23. One of the translations that was a little elaborate, that's where that confession came from. And in Psalm 23, David starts like this: the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Most people like the other part that says, I shall not want. But they don't understand that before you shall not want, the Lord really has to be your shepherd. And for the Lord to be your shepherd and the Lord to be my shepherd, I have to be the sheep of His pasture. The question this morning we want to answer is this: am I a sheep of His pasture? Am I really a sheep? Or do I just show up? Because there are several animals in scripture, but the sheep or the lamb is very peculiar to God. And there are things about the sheep that if we understand and we relate to properly, we'll be able to enjoy God as shepherd. The reason why sometimes we have read Psalm 23 again and again, some people, they will read Matthew chapter 6, 9 downwards, Psalm 23 every morning. But they just read it. They don't allow themselves to become sheep for the master to become their shepherd. But this morning, God is going to help us so that we'll posture ourselves and allow Him indeed to be our shepherd. In the Bible, in the Word of God, several places in the scriptures, you will see God being referred to as the shepherd. You will see God the Father showing Himself up as the shepherd of Israel. Like Psalm 80 verse 1. Psalm 80 verse 1. The Bible says there is one who dwells between the cherubim, and He calls Him the shepherd of Israel. He says He's the one that is like the compass. He's the real GPS of Israel. He says this one can shine forth. If you allow Him to be the shepherd of your family, He can also shine forth. That is the God that we are talking about. So this, our God, is a shepherd. The question we need to answer this morning is that, are we sheep of His pasture? And I hope you know that the plural of sheep is sheep. So if I say sheep, I'm speaking to you as individual. If I say sheep, I'm speaking to all of you as a congregation. Say, I am a sheep. Say, we are sheep of His pasture. There are several things we can note about sheep, but this morning I want to walk through a few of them and then ask ourselves, how much can we relate to that? How much can we align to that? So that the fullness of this God as our shepherd will find expression. One of the things about sheep is that they are clean animals. In the Old Testament, there were unclean animals and there were clean animals. Because in the Old Testament, it was a shadow of the sacrifice of Christ. So there was sacrifice for sin. There was physical sacrifice or regular sacrifice, and they use animal. And one of the clean animals in that system was the sheep or the lamb. And that's why even till today, Jesus, though the lion of the tribe of Judah, He still occupies the office of the lamb. Even our Savior identifies Himself in this sheepfold, identifies Himself as a sheep or as a lamb. And so if you and I will enjoy the fullness of the shepherd, the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, we need to learn and know who is a sheep. A sheep is a clean animal. A sheep is not like goat. And it's not just in terms of names, but in many things, especially in cleanliness. A sheep is a clean animal. And that's why if you and I will relate properly to this, our great shepherd, we need to clean up. Look at your neighbor, say clean up. Look at your neighbor, say clean up. If I am going to enjoy the ministry of the shepherd, I have to be clean. I have to allow the ministry of the shepherd to clean me up. Whenever I come to God, it does not matter what my past is, but I have to allow him to work on that past so that I can begin to live in the fullness of the newness that he has brought in me to be. So as a child of God, you and I, our pursuit should be that we live a clean life. Another word for that will be a holy life. The Bible speaking in Matthew chapter 5 verse 8, he says, blessed are the pure in heart. He said they will see God. They will see God at the end of time. They will also see God in the present times. Blessed are the pure in heart. Some of the challenges God has with many of his people is that they want him to put something in their hand, but they don't want to do anything about their heart. They want the God that will supply something. You remember, the Lord is my shepherd, I will not want. I will have something in my hand. But excuse me, before he puts something in your hand, he wants to be your shepherd. And as the shepherd, he's asking, are you his sheep? And how will he recognize you as a sheep? His sheep are clean people. They clean up. And the cleanup is not an external thing, because sometimes when we begin to talk about holiness and things like that, people focus on the external and they don't understand that the externals are just the little iceberg on top of the whole thing. There is a bigger thing downwards, and it's the internals. That's why the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart. It didn't necessarily say blessed are the people that sing pure songs or lift up or have a pure posture. Because some people have mastered the heart of deceiving everybody. If you come around them, they sound sanctimonious. Glory to God. Amen and amen. The Lord will do it. It is so in the name of Jesus. Bless you. You know, and they're supposed to. And there's nothing wrong with all of these things. Because sometimes when you hear some of these kind of my statement, you will think that I'm saying that you shouldn't say that. I mean, the Bible says, let your words be seasoned with grace. You know, so speak words like that. It says speaking to yourself in Psalms, in hymns. So it's okay to speak like that. It's okay to speak scripture to people. You know, when you meet your brother, you tell him, oh, I am a blessed man. I don't sit in the council of the ungodly. You know, you can say that to your brother, to your sister. You can relate to them like that. But I need you to understand that it first needs to happen from inside. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, the life lives too. It's not only the mouth that speaks. So when we are talking about this cleanliness, we are talking about God cleaning you up on the inside. That's why David will pray the prayer, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. If there is anything you can use to do business with God, it's a clean heart. It's a heart devoid of offense towards men. It's a heart devoid of envy towards your brother. That's why one of the things Jesus said about prayer was that when you have come into the place of prayer, if you remember that there is not cleanliness in the heart, you say, leave that prayer. Go and settle the matter. You see, there are too many people. The prayer you are praying, God has heard it. But the reason it can't locate you is that you have a wrong address. There is something masking your address, and it is the fact that you are not being seen as a sheep. Your address is being coded. There is a coding that your anger and your bitterness against your brother or sister is making sure that that thing does not get to you. And God is saying this morning, if you want me to be your great shepherd, if you are saying the Lord is my shepherd, I will not want. I'm asking you, will you be my sheep? And for my sheep, I want my sheep to clean up. I want my sheep to understand that they have to be holy. You see, sometimes when people hear the word holy, they think it's an old word, it's an Old Testament word. But you see, the word holy is so relevant today, because what does the word holy mean? To be holy means to be separate. And God does not like to use what is common. He likes to use what is separate. to himself. The devil does not mind to share you with everybody, but God doesn't like to share you with anything. He wants exclusive rights. And that's where holiness comes from. Holiness is we separate. And if you understand holiness, you will understand that it enters into everything. In fact, when you understand holiness, you will discover that most of the things God said in scripture was so that you will align with his holiness. I want you to be separate. I want you to come aside. You can't talk like them. You can't act like them. Sometimes I've met church people, Christian people, and they'll say, why are you saying all of that? People that don't even know God, they are succeeding. You are not even in their league. It's as if goat and sheep should be talking. And you say, goat, by the way, goat can eat anything. You are not a goat. You are a sheep. You are different. It's like what we tell our children at home. Why can't we do this? We don't do that here. We are different. And different is not dangerous. Different is good. Hear me. If somebody tells you, you look different, I'm thanking God for that, because it's in my difference that I will make a difference. It's only different people that can make difference. So your uniqueness is not a disadvantage. If I'm unique, I have to dress proper. I believe that I should not expose my body as a lady. And the people say, you are not fashionable. I am different. I am unique. It's okay. Unique difference is good. And let me tell you, it's even attractive. Some of the people that call you out on your difference, they are spying on your difference. They like it. They just can't get themselves to come and say, wow, this is your difference, make you beautiful. This is your difference, make you look attractive. So what they cannot become, they bring down. Because let me tell you the truth. Most times, people bring people down to their level. They want to bring you into the same mud that you are. And when you know you are different, you don't play there. You leave them there. It's like a sheep should not try to say, I want to be like a pig. A pig and a sheep is different. They are very different. No matter how you domesticate a sheep, a pig, there is something about pig and clean that don't work together. You know, there's been tales, all kinds of tales about pig, where they try to make pig look beautiful. And after a while, pig just saw mud. And the mud collected onto the pig. And the pig entered the mud. So if you want to really, really identify as a sheep, I'm telling you this morning, God is calling you to holiness. He's calling you to separateness. He's calling you not to do like they do it. We can't marry like they marry. We can't do the things they do. We can't sing the song they sing. He said, how can we do what they are doing? We are different. Excuse me, pastor. We will sound weird. We are already weird. When you read scriptures like 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, what do you think? Put it up, please. What do you think? Is that not weird? You are weird. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. Excuse me, media. They said I always call media. Okay. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. This one is mild. Give me King James. Give me King James. Be fast now, people. King James says, he's a new creature. That means he was a goat, he's now a sheep. And his function, everything he was doing before, now changes. You are not normal. You are different. And let me tell you, your difference qualifies you to make a difference. The reason Daniel made a difference in his days was that he was different. He decided, I will not be like them. There are too many of us, we are trying to be like them, and you don't know that it is your difference that will make you make a difference. You will not be able to convince them. You will not be able to have the platform to be able to say, our God lives. The reason why we can talk about Daniel today is because Daniel made a difference. And to make that difference, he had to stand and do what was different. He didn't commonize himself. He didn't get in touch with everything and try to be like every other person, because that's the trend now. If everybody is doing it, let us also do it. No. Some people will say, majority. You know, there's a statement, vox populi, vox dei, meaning the voice of the people is a lie. The voice of the people is not the voice of God. The voice of God is the voice of God. And sometimes, or many times, majority's voice is usually not the voice of God. Majority are usually working on another trajectory different from God. It is minority. God is a God of minority. Read through your scripture. It's usually a remnant. It's usually a minority. When 12 people went to spy the land, it was only 2 people that stood with God. That was a minority. But minority is good. Because God likes minority, because with small, he will do big things. He will use 2 people and do what 12 people should have done and even do better. That's the God you serve. So don't feel different. Don't feel funny being different. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians was talking about marriage a little bit. Talking about being not unequally yoked. You know, nowadays, we have come to a season where people say, but I love him now. Even if he doesn't go to church. Some of you, you make everything too spiritual. People that don't know God, don't they marry? They do. But they're on the same level. If you are on one level, and then the person you want to marry is on another level, you are in 2 different levels. And because of being on different levels, you have already created a trouble that you may not be able to solve. That's why scriptures like this will now say, I didn't say 14 though, but I think that verse he wants to say unequally yoked. But yeah, this unequally yoked is 17. 2 Corinthians 6, 17. The Bible says, be ye separate. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Touch not the unclean thing. Don't say that everybody is doing it. It's not everybody that is doing it though. That's what I hear people say. They say, the reason I did it is because everybody is the lie of the devil. He was lying like that. You know that one of the reasons why Elijah started being suicidal was that Elijah was saying that it's only me that is remaining. Everybody is following Baal now. God said, excuse me. It's not everybody. I still have remnant. And can I tell you, there are still people that are following this word of God. There are still people that are saying, I will hold on to this word. It may not be popular, but it has been tested. It has been tried. And if you're a young man, you're a young woman here, I want to tell you, you can trust this word. You may not be able to trust what is happening on TikTok. You may not be able to trust what is happening on Instagram, but I can tell you, you can trust this word. And one of the things that this word of God is telling you this morning is that to enjoy the ministry of the great shepherd, you must be a sheep, and the sheep is clean. It's high time we begin to go back to those days. The days of I am separate. I belong to Jesus. And I am proud of it. I belong to Jesus. And I'm not ashamed of it. Because Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Because it is the power of God. The more I am not ashamed, the more the power will show up. The reason some of us have not seen the power is that we are trying to say, I don't want them to see I'm where. I don't want. No! Let them know that I'm not the same with them. Let them know that I stand with Jesus. Let them know that Jesus is my Lord. You know, there are some of us now, because of stereotypes, you can't do this. Carry this without any, you know, paraphernalia. I mean, Bible. You see, I now have it on my phone. And there's no problem with that. But there are sometimes it's good to carry something like this and go to your school. Go in the middle of school and you are reading it. You carry your Bible. There are people carrying magic books now. They will carry the magic books even in public spaces, and they don't have any problem with that. But some of us, we have life and we are hiding. No. It's high time we need to be bold about this thing. It's high time we need to stand up, because if we don't do that, we will leave a legacy for children coming after us of a faith that they cannot be proud of. And it's high time people need to stand up. Because to enjoy the ministry of the great shepherd, we have talked about the good shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, for too long, and is the I shall not want we are focused on. It's time to focus on, I am his sheep, the sheep of his pasture. And as his sheep, I don't do everything everybody does. I do what my master says. And if he says clean, clean it is. If he says stay away is it. If he says separate, separate is it. And some people say, well, pastor, we are human beings. Because we are human beings, we are prone to sinning. Yes, that's why we have a savior. That's why we have a shepherd. And if we relate to him well, he's able to help us with that. There are too many sins that people have condoned and have explained away that God wants to deliver them from. There are too many habits that you are not proud of, but now you have started explaining it away and say, because everybody does. The fact that everybody does it does not mean you have to do it. I am different. I remember growing up as a child, and I went to boarding school, like Tennis said in her testimony. I remember when you are leaving for home then, from home, one of the things they said, one of the last statements, remember the son of who you are. Oh. Yeah. So, meaning when you get there, don't behave like all of them. Oh. You are not them. You came from somewhere. And remember where you came from. That's how we should be living our life. When you go to school, remember the son of who you are. I have a shepherd. I am the sheep. Even though I'm in this school is not the overall government over my life. Even though I'm in this profession is not the overall government over my life. The overall government of my life is my shepherd. And in myself, I say, be clean, be separate. I'm going to be separate. And it is possible in God. It is possible. I can stand for God. I can be a single woman and live for God and not be sleeping around. I can be a single guy and not be testing all the ladies around. Because some people believe that, no, it's not possible. It is possible. It is possible. I have said it before and I'm still saying. I met a guy on Friday and I was too, I'm probably going to bring the guy here. He just got married maybe last year. It is possible. The devil is lying to too many people. And saying, it does not matter now. Aren't we going to get married? If we are going to get married, let's just be living as if we are married. If you are not married, you are not married. If you need to marry, marry. Don't be deceiving. You see, people will deceive to enter into an institution they want to be a lifetime. And then when they enter into that institution, the institution will be deceiving them. And they will be angry and say, where is God? God is where he was when you were deceiving everybody. And now he's saying, what you did in the secret, you are getting some of the reward openly. God has a standard. God has a standard. When you talk about holiness, there are requirements. People say it doesn't matter. It does matter. God is a particular God. He's a particular God. He's particular. There are some things he wants them done the way he wants it done. It's particular. You can't just give him anything. Because even a normal king, a normal human king, you can't just give them anything. How much more the King of Kings? He's a king. And so as a king, he has the right to say, this is what I want. And he has said, this is what he wants. The word of God, the Bible, is not a suggestion. It is what he wants. And it is what is possible if you allow him. And so this morning he's saying, are you the sheep of my pasture? Before for you to enjoy the good, the great, the chief shepherd, he has to be your real shepherd, and you have to be his sheep. The sheep is clean. What other things do we see about the sheep? The sheep know their shepherd. The sheep know their shepherd. They know the voice of the shepherd. There is a personal knowledge of the shepherd to the sheep, and the sheep to the shepherd. The sheep know their shepherd. And it's the responsibility, especially in our own case, as the sheep of his pasture, to make effort to know our shepherd. I was saying in the workers' retreat yesterday, knowing God is not automatic. It will not jump as on you as a gift of the Spirit. Oh, I just know God now. No. You will do some things. You are going to, there's an exercise. The Bible talk about exercise yourself rather unto godliness. The reason why sometimes people argue about the fact that how can I be holy, how can I be clean, is because you have not sought to know your God. It was Daniel that made us to understand in Daniel chapter 11 and 32. He says, they that know their God, they will be stronger. They will do exploit. They that know their God, not know about their God. The biggest challenge in the church today is not knowledge about God. It's knowing God. We don't know the God we have believed. We talk with big words. But big word is not about I know him. Because you can come here and impress all of us. But we are not the one to impress. The one you need to know knows you. If you know him. Or he knows if you don't know him. That's what happened to the son of Sceva. They said, demon, out now, out now. In the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. Demon said, those people that you have mentioned, Jesus, we know him in this realm. Paul, complete identify. But you, identify yourself. You know, those military people say, identify yourself now. Civilian or soldier. You identify yourself. And they couldn't identify themselves. They didn't know God. They knew about God. And when it comes to the sheep knows the master. Because the reason why the sheep needs to know the master is the sheep's life depends on the voice of the master. Because especially at the time the Bible was being penned, these guys were, the sheep were being raised in the open. So there is danger. There is the lion there. There is the bear. There is danger. So their safety is dependent on being able to know their shepherd and hear the voice of their shepherd. In fact, I just found out this recently, that those shepherds will even give the sheep names so that they will call them. The sheep, they know their shepherd. And God is saying, as a sheep of his pasture, you need to know him. You need to know him. Isaiah, I believe verse 1 and 3 says, it says, the ox knows his master. He said, but my people, they have not known me. My people have not known me. The greatest challenge God has on earth today is not even the devil. It's ignorance. Not ignorance of people that don't even know that Jesus has come. Ignorance of people that know Jesus has come, who have received Jesus, but who don't know their God. Because they that know their God, they that know their God. There is something about knowing God. There's something about knowing God. That's why when David was on his way out, he told Solomon, he says, Solomon, know thou the Lord. 1 Chronicles 28 verse 9. He says, Solomon, know the Lord. And this morning I'm telling you, Victory House, you the sheep of the Lord, know the Lord. Know the Lord. Make investment in knowing the Lord. I celebrate you for coming to church, but that's not enough. You need to know the Lord. Because it is the Lord you know that you will be able to call in the day of trouble. Because the day of trouble is going to come. If it is not here. But it is the God you know. It is the God that you have spent time with. When you have been with God in the secret, in the open, he will answer you. The reason the prayers of Jesus in the open was very short was that his prayers in the secret was a long one. He had a relationship in the closet. God that you relate with in the closet will relate you with you in the open. The guys that went into the fiery furnace, you thought that it was when they put that fiery furnace there, they now started saying, ah, our God will do it. You know, some people will say that, ah, my God will do it. Even will not happen. You will say the right things, but the right things will not happen. Why? You don't know what you are talking about. You're just using words. You are just Christianizing things. When Jesus met the woman in John chapter 4, if you read verse 22, Jesus told the woman, he said, you worship what you don't know. You worship what you know not of. He says, because salvation is of the Jew. You just use big names. Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Second. When you hear some people praying, it will impress you, but it's not impressing God. Because God is like, you are just throwing words. I don't know you. You don't know me. You are a stranger. Hello, stranger. That's what happened to some people in church on Sunday. God, where are you? God said, I'm where I have been from Monday to Saturday. This one Sunday now that you want to use Sunday to do like, no, you blackmail me. What happened on Monday to Saturday? Where were you? I'm busy. Okay, me too, I'm busy now. Know the Lord. That was what David told Solomon. This is the inheritance I will give you to be a king. This is my recipe of being the king of Israel. That even me, I started bearing some name with the God of Israel. They started calling me shepherd of Israel too. Why? Because I knew the Lord. Why did David stand in front of Goliath and was sure that he would bring Goliath down? He knew the Lord. He knew the Lord. You see, I know the Lord. I know he will save. I know he will show. You know the Lord. You know the Lord. Let me tell you, when it comes to knowing the Lord or knowing anything, there are two dimensions of relationship to time that you have to give that thing. If you want to know the Lord, if you want to know anybody, if you want to know anything, you have to give the Lord quantity time. You have to give the Lord quality time. I have heard people say, God just needs quality time. He does. He needs quality time. But he also wants quantity time too.
I don't know that you will know anybody. Just giving them quality time. Oh, my wife, I will just give you 3 minutes of my quality time every day. One day you will not have a wife again. You'll just be on your own because you'll be married to your quality, because she wants quantity too. There are times she just wants you to be around. What do you want me to do? You know, some of us that are very logical. We just say, I just want you to be there in the kitchen. What will I be doing? I just want you to be there. I want the quantity time. But it's useless. No, just be there. Because it is when you are there that we'll now remember that. Ah, by the way, we need to buy water. I don't want to say something that we don't eat that one again. So we need to buy water. All right? That's when we'll know that. Oh, so and so is coming up. Oh, this is coming up. It is quantity time. Many of us have friends. Most times when we call them, there's nothing to say. But we'll talk, and it is 1 hour later. I mean, I have those kind of friends, even mentors. Sometimes we just start to talk. I'm like, how did we get to this 1 hour now? We've been talking. Quantity time. Of course, there's quality time. We just quickly chat. Excuse me, sir. Or, you know, maybe my wife, you know. There's quantity time. Quality time. But you cannot know anyone if you don't spend quantity time and quality time. That's why when you come to church, be relaxed. You know? Be relaxed. I know some people, let the church service be just 45 minutes. There's a place for that too. Once in a while, we should do that. But other times, we should also stretch it. That's why we do events like NICOS. Why did you do that? It is in that long time. You know what the Bible says? They that wait upon the Lord. What do you think that means? You think it's just praying and fasting? No. They that are patient with the Lord, they that come into his presence and understand that he's a king. And as a king, he can decide to answer at the first hour, or he can decide to answer at the 10th hour. But I'm going to give him the opportunity to wait on him. To wait on him. If there is anything being lost in Christendom today, is the heart of waiting. You just come to God. There's no agenda. You just come to God. You just want to fellowship. You just want to stay there. You just want to stay with him. That was the secret of David. So when David was telling Solomon, know thou the Lord, he was saying, do what I used to do. 7 times a day, I will appear before the Lord. I will go into his temple. I will look and behold his face. I will celebrate him. I will sing. I will dance. I will confess sins. I will claim promises. I will spend time before God. Many of you need to take a vacation from other things to God. Because Solomon, child of God, know thou the Lord. Know thou the Lord. It was Job that was speaking in Job chapter 42 and verse 5. Job chapter 42 and verse 5. The Old Man Christian Standard Bible, I like the way he puts it. He says, I have heard rumors about you. He said, but now my eyes see you. Do you know it is possible to be a child of God for 20 years and the best you have is rumors? Because God has been a third party to you. Everything you know about God, he told you. God, you don't know people like that. To know, really know, you have to know yourself. Because some people that tell you, they may not tell you everything. Everything is purest at the source, including the information about God. If I tell you about God, because I'm the one now saying it, I will have added some of me into it. So I need to know it from the source. Do you know that in 2024, biblical literacy is going down and we are having more Bibles? People died to make these Bibles available. Now we have this Bible on a platter of gold, and many of us don't read it. Some of you, if I ask you, have you ever read the Bible before? You say, why should I read all the Bible? Yes, you should read all the Bible. You read all the books you were using for medicine, and you've read all of them. Sometimes you have read them 6 times, some of them. And the Bible, just 66 books. They don't change the books every year. It has been 66 books since forever. Since they put this thing into print, it has remained 66 books. Why have you not read 66 books? Do you know how many hours it takes to read the Bible? 89 hours. You mean since your whole adult life, you can't spare 89 hours? It's because you have not planned for it. It's because you have not made any attempt. It's because you have not pressed for it. It's because you have been making excuses and saying, well, this is America now. It's a busy place. Somebody must work for money. But we have been working for this thing for a long time now.
And how much of it do we have? Let me tell you, this is an essential part of your life. Know the Lord. Know the Lord. I can't help you to really know the Lord. All I do every Sunday is to inspire you to now go and do your work. Do you know that church is like a teaser? It's not the main thing. We give you small so that you can do the remaining at home. We give you some so that you can do all at home. If you think we have given you everything, you are mistaken. This is not enough. How can this be enough? How can this be all that you hear about God? How can 1 hour of me talking be enough to your God, to the one you want to spend eternity with? You just need 1 hour every Sunday. Even food, you don't give it 1 hour every week. Food, as inconsequential as food is, or not so the most important thing as food is, you still give food your time. How much more God? There is nothing you want to know that you must not give time. If you want to know God, give him time. If you want to know a particular part of God, give it time. I want to know more about prayer. Have you given it time? You are not giving any time. Give it time. Read books about prayer. Listen to messages about prayer. Read scriptures about prayer. Look at mentors from scripture and say, I want to pattern myself after Jesus. How did Jesus pray? The prayer life of Jesus. I want to pattern myself as that. Because as a sheep, you must know your shepherd. It is when you know your shepherd that you will say some things. You are not saying it to inform people. You are saying it out of conviction. You are saying it out of conviction. There is a saying from conviction. There is just a saying from memory. It is the saying from conviction that makes things to happen. In fact, if you don't speak when you are convinced, you are still more powerful than the person that is speaking that is not convinced. And what brings the conviction? That spending time. That's how you know the Lord. That's why Paul speaking Philippians 3, he says, this is my prayer, that I may know him. And that should be your prayer, that I may know him, that I may know him. Pastor, I thought I knew him last year. You can't finish him. Even in eternity, we are learning him. The people that have passed on to glory now, they are still learning him. And eternity of eternity, we are still going to be learning him. We keep pressing into knowing him. Paul, after he had done so much, he said, that I may know him. Excuse me, Paul, you have been speaking for him. He said, that's not enough. That I may know him. I hope and I wish somebody leaves this place this morning and your cry is this, that I may know him. That I may know him. That I may know him more. That I may fellowship with him more. That I will not just be talking about him. I will not be spreading rumors about God. I will not have things that God can do. I will not have it as theory to become experiential, because I know him. That I may know him. God is calling you and me to be sheep of his pastures. And if you will be sheep of his pasture, you will come clean. If you will be sheep of his pasture, you will know him. You will know him. When Jesus was here, Jesus spoke in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. If you start reading from verse 31, he says, Jesus told the Jews that believed on him, he says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You are really, really disciples. That means that the disciples that just heard him, that don't abide in his word, they are not really disciples. That means many people are not really disciples, even in church today. Why? They are not abiding in the word. Abide speaks of staying there. Abide speaks of let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, 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 lavishly, copiously, in abundance, in measures that it begins to overflow. Do you know that the way God wants you to live your life is from overflow? And overflow comes when there is a depth of investment of, you know, time. It says the disciples that believed in him, he told them to abide in his word. And then he now said, it is when they abide. Look at verse 32. Verse 32. And you shall know the truth. When people quote this scripture, they say, and the stone shall say, you don't know the truth because you just read about the truth. You know the truth when you abide. God. It is a it's like a fellowship of timing that leads you into that place where you know the truth. And there are so many things that the truth will do to you. One of it is that it will make you free. There are some of us who have been under the bondage of a particular thing for many years. Maybe it's about time you know the truth about that thing. You spend time. Before you fast, spend time in the Word to know. And then it's from that knowledge that you will have your deliverance. Let me end with this part. The sheep of his pastures. The sheep must be clean. The sheep must know their shepherd. The sheep, in knowing their shepherd, must know how to discern the voice of their shepherd. The voice of their shepherd. The voice of the shepherd. You cannot be an effective sheep without knowing the voice of your shepherd. You need to know the voice of your shepherd. There's a hymn that says, I serve a risen Savior is in the world today. He talks with me and walks with me along life's narrow way. He leaves. Christ Jesus lives in me. If you ask me why I know he lives within my heart, but he lives and I know because he talks to me. We have a talking God. We have a speaking God. The problem is not lack of a speaking God. The problem is lack of an hearing or hearing children. They are not hearing. That's why Jesus will say, he that has an ear, let him hear. It's not everybody that has an ear that is using it to hear. They have outsourced their hearing to some other guy. And let me tell you, you are not a good sheep if another sheep is the one telling you what your shepherd is talking about. I'm not saying people should not speak into your life. I speak into people's life here, right? But we should be secondary. You should be hearing God. God wants to speak to you. God still speaks. Oh, God still speaks. I know there's some people that believe God used to speak, but God still speaks. He still spoke this morning. The reason I prayed for that lady was God spoke. And I knew I was going to do the prayer. I told my wife, go and tell her I'm going to pray for her. Bring oil. And I'm, because God still speaks. God speaks. My sheep know my voice. That's what scripture says. It says, the voice of a stranger they will not hear. I think we should read that scripture real quick as I begin to wrap up. Thank you, Jesus. John chapter 10. All right, verse 27 says, it says, my sheep hear my voice and they know them and they follow me. It says, and I give them eternal life and they shall not perish. And neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. I don't know if it's the next verse that says, the voice of a stranger they will not follow. In a noisy world, you need distinct voice. In a noisy world. And today is very noisy. If you have a TV subscription, there are so many channels. If you don't have a TV subscription, there are so many shows on so many streaming platforms, and you are your friend will tell you, this one is it has come out now. The options are many, and because of many options, there's abundance of confusion. People are confused, and it ought not to be. People are confused about marriage. They are confused about job. Can I tell you, God still speaks about all those areas today. Today, if you give him the opportunity. God can, every area. The reason you are hearing me this morning is not because I wanted to be speaking to you this morning or be in Chicago. It's because God speaks. I had concluded everything. My wife was in England. She had a job. Me, I didn't have a job in Chicago at that time. I had concluded everything. I already had bank account. I had everything in England. And then he spoke. Stay in Chicago. He still speaks. It may not look palatable, but if you can hear his voice, it changes everything.
The voice of the Lord.
If you can hear his voice, you will be a star in your generation. If you can hear his voice, you will be a good parent. If you can hear his voice, you will be a good wife. If you can hear his voice, you will be a good student. There is nothing you are doing that his voice will not make it better. There is nothing. And he still speaks. You don't even have to be called into any office, any prophetic office, for you to hear the voice of God. No, you don't. If it's your shepherd and you are a sheep, you are entitled to hear. It's just you posturing yourself. There is an angle of inclination. There is an inclination. There is a way you incline yourself. That's why Proverbs will keep saying, my son, incline your ears to my saying. It's like you have to turn to a particular angle to hear him. One of the inclinations you have to do is you have to be humble. You have to know that when he speaks, he knows more than you. Sometimes the reason God will not speak is that some of us are already proud. We know what we want to do. There are some people, they'll be talking as if they know the future. This is what I want to do. This, I'm going to get married like this. I'm going to do this like this. Continues saying all of that. You know today. You can't even see beyond your nose. The one that knows the future, he can guide you. I can tell you for free many, many things that God has led me to. The voice of the Lord. The voice. And he speaks to his sheep. If we are the sheep of his pasture, we are not only clean, we don't only know him, we know his voice. We invest in that. We wait for the voice. We don't try to move just with our own five senses. There is more to life than five senses, my friend. There is something bigger than five senses. In Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21, the Bible says, you will hear a voice behind you telling you this is the way. You will hear a voice behind you telling you this is the way. I can see you people talking, you know, and it's very, very rude. You hear a voice behind you telling you this is the way. And the voice of a stranger, you will not hear. Because strangers too will speak. The devil is speaking. Your body is speaking. There are some times when people think they heard God, it was their flesh. Their flesh. Oh, your flesh speaks. Your flesh speaks. You know, sometimes when you look at the story of Jesus' temptation, you may be thinking that the devil physically came. Maybe he may not have been that. Maybe that time that he was saying, turn stone to bread, it was his stomach that. I don't know if you have fasted before. And your stomach will speak. I have been there. And the stomach will speak to you and say, well, it is the heart that God sees. You have tried. You cannot come and kill yourself. Eat, kill, for the journey is far. It's my stomach. He will even quote scripture to me. The flesh speaks. There are other voices. But if you learn to discern the voice of the Lord, that voice will change things for you. We are the sheep of his pasture. The sheep of his pasture. They hear his voice. Maybe next week I will speak a little bit more about hearing the voice of the Lord. How do I posture myself in a busy world, in a noisy world, to enjoy the voice of the Lord? But take it from me today. God still speaks. And he wants to speak to you. In fact, he has been speaking to you. You are just not hearing. And God will help us. We'll clean up all the wax, all the things that is blocking the hearing, the interferences, so that the fullness of God will find expression in your life. There is a prayer that I'm going to ask God to pray in a little bit, and it is in Psalm 40. It is in Psalm 40. Because you see, sometimes destiny is waiting for you and I to hear. Destiny is not really waiting for you and I sometimes to do. It's just a matching instruction. In verse 6 of Psalm 40, the Bible says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. My ears you have opened. And then later he now goes on to say, lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me to do your will. It is because my ear you have opened that I came to do your will. And this morning, many of us that are sheep of his pasture, we have to move from this service to do his will. But he has to open our ear. It is in Isaiah chapter 50 verse 4 that he says, morning by morning, he wakeneth up my ear so that I can hear like the learned. It can wake up your ears. You can hear. It can open your ears so that you can hear him. That's what happened to Samuel. Samuel, he thought it was Eli that was calling him. But God was opening his ears so that he can hear him. And it was the accuracy at which he heard God that he was going to prosecute his destiny. There are so many of you, your next level is based on your next hearing. If you don't hear well, you won't do well. But this morning, there is grace. There is grace. There is grace for you to hear. I want you to stand to your feet this morning. That scripture says, burnt offering and sacrifice you have not required. He said, but my ear, you have opened. My ear, you have opened. That should be your prayer. My ear, you have opened. My ear, you have opened. Is he hearing you this morning? My ear, you have opened, oh God. My ear, you have opened. Burnt offering and sacrifice you have not required, but my ear you have opened. You have opened. When you are here. You are not praying.
When you are here. When you are here.
Open my ears, oh God.
You are here.
Open my ears, oh God.
My ear. When you are here. When you are here. When you are here.
Open my ears. That's your prayer. Hey, open my ears, oh God. Open my ears. I am the sheep of your pasture. Open my ears, oh God. I am the sheep of your pasture. Open my ears. I want all of us in this room to put our hands on our chest, because one of the things he highlighted for us this morning is that blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. For they are the sheep of his pasture. It starts from the pure heart to the hearing ear. So say with me, say in the name of Jesus. Create in me a clean heart this morning in the name of Jesus. I am the sheep of your pasture in Jesus' name.
You will hear
when you are here.